Welcome to Rethink Association, your one-stop destination for all things association marketing. We're spending 15 to 20 minutes each month diving into the intricate world of association marketing, unraveling the strategies, tactics, and trends that drive success for these vital organizations. Get ready to supercharge your marketing efforts and gain a deeper understanding of the unique challenges and opportunities that associations face, right here on Rethink Association by High Road Solutions. Welcome back to another episode of Rethink Association, where this month we are going to chat through MarTech stacks and goals and what that means. We're also going to have a segment with an awesome High Roader named Chandler. He's our go-to guru for all things AI and HubSpot. So he will be joining us a little bit later. But as usual, you have me, Gara Swain, and Morgan Mulgrew joining today for this episode.
Hi, everybody. So today we are going to kind of do a little bit of an overview, but then kind of get into some deeper dive into MarTech stacks and kind of how you can align those with your goals. Just as a little level set, I know most people know what a MarTech stack is, but just to level set with everybody who might not be super familiar, the definition, if you will, of MarTech is used to describe software and technology used by marketing teams to attract and retain customers. So it's all the stuff that you folks are using on a daily basis to stay in contact, work with your customers, attract new ones, and keep the old ones. A lot of good things about MarTech is it tends to make things easier for folks, especially people with small teams. It can save time, provides automations to processes, and it can also help streamline your efforts among your teams, which, as you know, based on our previous podcast, Gara and I are always about streamlining the teams in the association. So having, you know, MarTech involved is always crucial and important. So on that, Gara, let's walk through just the easy part of what a MarTech stack might be. I'll let you handle that one.
Okay, yeah, no problem. So with MarTech stacks, there are lots of options to be able to utilize as part of your stack or your automation processes. So it's going to just be the tools that marketers are using to execute elements of marketing campaigns. So this can be anything from SEO to content marketing, social media marketing, anything that's going to make your life easier as a marketer. So as stated, there are quite a few options, and there's lots of programs out there that you can use for these options. So SEO, most of us know that this is keyword research that we're using. We're using it for blogs and things like that to get our searches higher up in the rankings, especially with Google. We have content marketing, which can be used for helpful with content creation. And a lot of that can play into what we've talked about in the past with AI coming in to help with that content creation as well. There's also different options for social media marketing. HubSpot, as you know, we are a partner of theirs. They have it built in, but also there's other options such as Hootsuite or Salesforce Marketing Cloud that are out there. You have all kinds of options for like event marketing, different advertising platforms, search engine marketing. Google Ads is probably one of the most popular ones that most people use for their search engine marketing. So tons of options that you're able to utilize as part of your stack.
We went through so many different things. Now my question that I know is coming up, because a lot of my associations, you know, tend to ask the folks that I work with, do you see your clients having a lot of tools or an all-in-one tool, or is it kind of all over the place depending on the organization?
So it kind of depends on the organization. I have found, since I'm still newer to the association world, I have noticed that a lot of them are trying to transition more into an all-in-one, but at the current time, they are using multiple products as part of their stack. Now, in the past, when I've worked in other digital agencies, it's been more of an all-in-one type of tool like HubSpot or Salesforce, something along those lines that we're using. But I'm starting to see the shift from having multiple different products, such as like somebody using Hootsuite for something, using a special email marketing platform for another, an LMS, and which is the learning management system, versus there's so many that can be used. But I'm trying myself to talk more to clients about utilizing an all-in-one tool like HubSpot.
Yeah, absolutely. I have clients all over the place in terms of what elements are in their stacks. I have some accounts that have upwards of like 10 to 12 tools that they're using in their MarTech stack, and it's all very specific uses. So they, you know, it's hard for them to kind of move into the all-in-one because, you know, with the thousands of tool options, there are some that have very specific niche like elements that, you know, you can't find everywhere. You know, an all-in-one tool is great, but if you have a specific thing that you need to do, then, you know, it kind of hurts, or, you know, hurts your goals and strategies to have to get rid of that. So while I'm kind of with you, I'm seeing people start to streamline at least their, you know, email management, their lead generation tools, all of those tools, starting to streamline those. I do see people saying, you know, we have this tool that's for this specific reason. We are hanging on to it for dear life because it does what we need it to do. So I was just curious if you saw the same things as I see on my side, since we have different accounts on our team and, you know, between us.
Yes, for sure. But it is becoming, marketing teams that I've found in the association space are very small. So they're always thinking in the back of their head, how can I do this more efficient? How can I be better at this? What automation can I use? So as part of that stack, you know, those automations can include workflows, or that include automatic emails, or, you know, things like that, just pulling in that that side of data in order to be more efficient and grow the association overall.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, as we're kind of talking about this, I want to kind of make sure I hit on the fact that, you know, tools are great. Having them have, you know, having all these great opportunities and these things to do, you know, you have to think of your actual goals before you think of the technology, I guess, is my main thing that I kind of want to bring up. So when I'm talking with my accounts, when we're talking about, hey, I want to have this all-in-one tool that does all of these things, well, what are you trying to accomplish? You know, where are you wanting to focus? And you know, marketers have an idea of where their organization is seeing successes and where they might want to improve. As they streamline. So, you know, a couple of my most common things that people say to me as I'm saying, you know, if you want to improve your MarTech stack or have a growing MarTech stack, you know, what are your goals? Where are you wanting to focus? And most of the time in my association world, it's, you know, increasing their website traffic, conversions, people buying stuff or registering and paying for things. You know, events are very important to the association space, whether they're virtual or in person, as we are leaning more towards in-person stuff. You know, that's really important to get those registrations in. And then renewals, because as you know, Gara, renewals are down for most folks and memberships are down for most folks. So recruitment and retention are really, really important these days. So focusing on those goals is really, really important before we move to all of this, let's talk tech and everything else. Would you agree in that sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that those are some very good goals that need to be talked about throughout the organization, maybe not just even with the marketing, but you're looking at, you know, what is your sales team or your membership team also want to bring in. Something I've also seen a lot of when I'm talking about goals with clients, especially with the marketing teams, is they rely heavily on email marketing. And they want to see those click-through rates and those open rates. Now, let's focus on open rates because, as we all know, like Apple Mail and stuff kind of inflate those open rates. But we're really looking through those click-through rates because they want to make sure people are reading what they're putting out there. So I think that that's part of a goal that I think a lot of associations are wanting to utilize more as well. just to get that information out there.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our other platforms that we support is Adestra, which is a strictly email marketing tool, but it does have some great reporting. And a lot of times, folks, as they're trying to consider, we've got this great reporting, this email marketing is working for us. So in terms of improving the MarTech stack, some of my associations don't even really focus on, lead generation and those types of things at this point. They focus more on retention. So really, it's kind of picking the tool that works the best for you. But, one thing to note, Gara, that was kind of a good point, is click-through rates are important, but there is also other data that platforms are offering and being able to see more and getting more reach and more engagement when you have a tool that includes more options for you. So it's not just about the email marketing. It's also about the other things, the other touch points that you have throughout your MarTech stack and your other tools.
Yeah, being able to track that like full member or full customer journey is very important. So I think, as we've stated, there are a lot of associations that are using multiple touch points, but potentially that all in one stack, having it all in one place to be able to track the full journey is important too.
Yeah, absolutely. I hate to be the one that says the bad things, I guess you could say, but these all-in-one tools are great, but also associations are also a very budget friendly or budget conscious group, I guess you could say. So, a lot of times all these little pieces of the puzzle are all great deals, but then they actually stack up to being the cost of what one of these all-in-ones might be, or, a little bit of a difference, but budget's always something that folks are thinking of, at least in my account space. So, there's lots of times where, hey, we want to move, we want to improve our stuff, we want to make our MarTech stack more inclusive, track more things. But, some organizations have to budget for that for, a year or two. And as we all know, technology changes very often. So it feels like it's kind of an ever revolving cycle of, okay, we're ready for it, but now there's new stuff. So now we have to start the process over of researching and figuring out what we might need.
Yeah, I think that's part of the challenge too, is trying to figure out what you actually do need. And that's where, as we always bring it back around to, communication is key. So like surveying your team to find out what those challenges are, they can be goal related or they can just be overall related to like what your stack is. So definitely chatting through with your team on that and keeping everybody in the loop of what you're using, what you want to be using, what your goals are, is just super important.
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of nailed it on the head, thinking internally as well as externally what the goals are really important, especially with small marketing teams. Everybody wants things to be easier because the marketers are always busy doing something for their organization. So, thinking of what the challenges are externally and then also thinking about how can we make our marketing team's lives easier as they work with the other teams, also very, very crucial to this kind of discussion that you're having.
Yeah, and there's always like additional tools that may be needed. So like outside of even if you have an all-in-one platform for this, there's other things that you may need to utilize, such as, let's throw a plug-in for HighRoad, like our Spark integration, in order to get your data from your AMS over into your CRM. There's project management tools that may need to be utilized as well as part of your stack. But always remember, it's strategy first, technology second. You have to know your strategy and where you want to be in order to get there with the technology.
Absolutely. That's really great words to live by. The strategy first, then the technology. And I have a lot of accounts that have really thought that through. Yes, we want these easy to do things, but is it really going to help us in what our goals are? The other couple pieces of advice that, we've been giving to people as they're kind of thinking, Gara's strategy first, technology second is always the number one for us, but keep your system simple. Not necessarily simplified in the all-in-one concept, not necessarily in that sense, but keep it simple so that your marketing team doesn't have to do so much extra work. Things that provide automations, things that provide reports, things that provide stuff to kind of help the marketers so they don't have to go digging through to find it. And then, Gara, I'll let you handle the last two pieces of advice because they are really great, and I might throw something in there. But we always go with our typical four, so we'll do pick a tool that will or keep your system simple is number two for us, and then Gara, you can handle three and four.
Sure. Yeah. So you'll want to pick a tool that's going to grow with your organization. As Morgan stated earlier, we're talking about how technology is always changing. So you want to try to utilize systems that are going to keep stay up to date. And then always document everything. Have a process. Have it written out, because you just never know what's going to happen in the future. And somebody else may need to utilize that process that you've started. So those are four things that I think we need to keep in mind as we're thinking through your goals and our MarTech stacks.
Yeah, absolutely. The documenting everything. I've had quite a few on top of just not only just documenting all your processes, but also if you do the research for your, you know, if you're the one of the people that's on the marketing team evaluating these tools and trying to do some research, figuring it out, make sure you document. Don't just go to the website and say, this is what I found. Have the information, show the efficiencies so that, and then, you know, if you use it, great, but you still have that information for should you want to update the next time as well. And then in the terms of, you know, processes and things, I know most folks in our audience that are listening are very aware that job changes and restructuring and all sorts of things that have happened in the last few years occur, and that we don't want to have, you know, an informational gap, because then you have the teams that have this tool that they don't even really know how it was being used. And it might be something great that just becomes kind of obsolete because the next team didn't necessarily, or the next person didn't necessarily know how to use it. So documentation is really, really important for your MarTech stack.
Yeah, I agree. So keep in mind, so as you're talking to Morgan and I, most of you who are listening or maybe not listening that aren't Pyro clients, but specifically for our clients, as you're talking to Morgan and I through monthly calls or ever how our cadence is for meeting, bring this stuff up if you're interested in chatting through your stacks and your goals. We're happy to talk through with you and be a resource as part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, with the amount of clients that we are working with, you know, and the difference in everybody's MarTech stack, you know, I think you and I are good resources for folks. Hey, this is what we want to accomplish. Will this tool accomplish it for us? Those kinds of things. And, you know, as always, having the ability to provide integrations to folks to make sure that their different parts of their stack are talking to each other is something that we also, you know, pride ourselves in being able to help with. So, you know, even if you want to change tools, you still are going to need to make it talk to your, you know, CRM or your AMS. So, things to think about as you're kind of thinking. It just seems that this year, especially, you know, we've just finished quarter one. It just seems that this year is the year where everybody's kind of reevaluating their goals and their MarTech stack. So we want to be a resource for you, and we want to be helpful to you.
So up next, we're going to talk to Chandler Miller. As I stated before, he's kind of our guru in all things AI. So I know he's super excited to chat through with us on AI and how that could potentially shape a future of IT departments. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome, Chandler. We're glad that you've joined us for this segment of Ask a High Road or Anything. I don't think a lot of our listeners have had the chance to meet you. So if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and your role.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Chandler. I am the Senior Technical Advisor with High Road. I help people with the integration and planning their architecture for moving from one system to another, the AMS, the CRM. I've had a lot of experience inside of HubSpot and other CRMs and moving databases. So a lot of nerdy technical things over my past career.
Yeah, absolutely. Chandler is a godsend to us in terms of, this data guru, this technology guru element. I bring him in on a lot of calls. So a lot of my accounts have started to meet Chandler. He's relatively new to our team. But the reason that we have brought Chandler on is, last month's topic for us was all about marketing teams and possibly using AI. And then Chandler just was on our webinar, our High Road webinar recently, discussing AI as well. So we thought it would be fun to bring him in to do a little segment based on AI and how it can affect other teams within an organization such as IT, because most of our accounts are focused on the marketing elements of AI and how it can be implemented and be used and make their lives better. But there is some stuff in the AI world that is related to IT, and that's why we brought Chandler in. So thanks for joining us, Chandler.
Absolutely.
So Chandler, in this short segment, we just want to know, how do you feel AI will eventually shape IT teams? Do you think it's going to change how they're staffed or how they work? What are your thoughts?
I don't think it will change how they're staffed, especially not with something like ChatGPT, which is kind of the face of AI. For the public, AI also runs a lot deeper and does other things, but for consumers' purposes, it's ChatGPT. And it can write programs and things like that. Kind of okay. Here's the problem. You still need to be able to read the code. So you're still going to need IT teams for implementation and for execution, and you don't know what you don't know kind of thing. So you have to be able to ask the right questions. I think the barrier to entry for IT professionals is getting lower because of the speed at which we can learn things, thanks to AI, because it can show you, like, hey, here's how something works, and it can reinterpolate, like, the explanation as well. So it's like, I don't quite understand what you're saying. Like, try to say it again in layman's terms, and it will try again. But right now, it's a tool and an extension for people who know what they're doing to do it easier. It doesn't allow people who don't know what they're doing to just, like, take over. So no one's cutting the AI, the tech team to replace it with AI, but they will be supplementing the tech team with AI. That's my thought.
That makes sense. That's kind of what we talked about last month with AI and marketing, and how you still need to have the person behind the scenes. So even if you're using AI to help with content or writing copy, anything like that, you still have to have somebody proofing it and making sure it makes sense, because it's not always sending out what you're actually trying to talk about, or it's being very literal. And that may not be the way you want it to go.
Yeah, AI doesn't really understand intuition in the same way that humans do. It's not clever. It's very smart, but it doesn't have wisdom, which is fine. It will do exactly what you tell it to do, which is really, really useful when you need it to do the exact same thing every single time. So aligning automation or doing like quick research on a specific topic to pull top searches, very, very useful. But for shaping a campaign or for evaluating a campaign success, like, you still need to be the ones who are doing that. So again, for IT, for debugging what a problem is and then delivering that to like an internal team, because, like, okay, maybe it can fix the problem, but then it can't really tell how to fix the problem to, like, a CEO, where they may not be as technical. And they're like, well, now I have to go in here and change the HTML and do all this and update that. It's like, well, no, it's way easier for IT to go, okay, how do I fix this problem? Okay, I have the answer. Now I can go fix it. Like, I know where to push the buttons.
So I think people are having a sigh of relief now, because, you know, a lot of people are panicked that AI or, you know, new technologies are going to kind of replace these people. And you very clearly stated that it's a long time coming before, you know, the robots take over, which Gara knows from our previous podcast is, like, my biggest fear is that the robots are going to get the feelings and they're going to get the emotions and then they take over the world. And Chandler, you have calmed me down, but you've also calmed the rest of our people down when you say that, you know, it's going to be a long while. We still need people in the back.
Yeah. Well, it's also going to take a long while because AI is at a bottleneck point. So it is, from a world perspective, NVIDIA is the only one selling shovels that help AIs dig. So that company is single-handedly propping up the AI business and is suddenly the most important company in the world. And my brother works for another company that supplies the molds to make the shovels. So I have a weird insight into like the AI from a hardware perspective. There is a huge bottleneck. There is an incredible amount of demand, but there's not enough supply. So we are seeing this kind of like AI explosion because ChatGPT came out to the forefront, but we're seeing this like, we're not seeing the progression that everyone expected simply because there is not enough hardware to keep up with that kind of level of expansion. But what we can use it for right now from a consumer perspective is that like it's a tool, it's an extension, it's really good at regurgitating information, about helping unblock kind of your thought process, as well as keeping things organized for you. But it's not going to, like, it can't replace people yet. And because of hardware limitations, we're not really going to get to that level of replacing people for a long time. They just need more.
Insert huge sigh of relief from everybody listening, including me.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. The tractor replaces cows and, you know, what used to take 100 farm hands now only takes one. So, but all those people went and did something different. I don't think AI, even if it does make your job redundant, will ever be problematic for your career. Because I think people have a lot of skills that are too difficult to replace with AI. But there is, you know, it's something to keep an eye on and learn how to use and access the tool.
So in that sense, it's you got to be leveling up as the AI levels up because you need to be able to still work it and still use it. So you can't say, I'm not going to use it at all. You have to know how to use it and then apply it in your job. But you can't just say it's AI, I'm not doing it at this point, right?
Yeah, you got to respect it for what it is. And it's an explosive new technology. It'd be like being like, oh, this internet fad is going to go away. Like, no, it's changing the world and it will change the world. But, you know, same with the internet bubble. Everyone thought it was going to be this huge thing, but it was 10 years away from being as explosive as it could have been because the technology, the hardware, everything like that wasn't quite there yet. Then 10 years later, now the internet is a mainstay staple and like people cannot live without it. So AI, 10 years from now, I think we will see that become a mainstay staple where it's part of your daily life, but it will be different than what it is today.
All right, Chandler. Well, we appreciate you taking some time out of your super busy day living your best life over there in the technical part of our world. Gara and I are going to be back next month with another thrilling topic. So join us next month on Rethink Association.